At the end of Perek Beis of Yonah, we ended up by saying that Yonah had been spat out by the dog, by the fish, some 965 parsel, which we said was closing in on about 4,000 kilometers or something like that. Just a slight correction was the we quoted the Malbim as to where how the maths where that came out. I think we said in the end it was from Lashem. Right, it actually goes from the Posuk Yud, then the Posuk Yud, Lashem, Vayim Hashem Ladog, Vayoki Es Yonah, I think it was, or something like that. I think that's how it the maths worked out. The gematria of that came out to 965. As to the significance of 965, if we have time at the end, we may try and touch on that today. I've looked around, haven't really found anything, but I'll suggest the Peshat at the end, if we have time. So going straight into Perek Gimel. And the word of Hashem was to Yonah Sheinis a second time. Now, Chazal say that it was only a second time to exclude the third time. That means to say that this was the second and final time that he received a nevuah, the second and final time that he received a prophecy. Some understand that means literally he never ever received a prophecy again, and that was simply because he rejected, he didn't treat as he should have the nevuah. The nevuah of the first nevuah he received, and therefore this was the last time he was to receive a nevuah. Others take on the reductor brings down that some are of the opinion this means that he only received two nevuahs, two prophecies with regard to Nineveh, but he did receive other prophecies. Finished off the pasuk lemar saying. Now lemar saying to whom? So the al-sheikh says this means to say that. That after all that happened to him, you would have thought that he didn't need a second instruction to go to Yonah. He would have realized that for himself. So the pasuk says Lemar, he still needed to be told as to what the instruction was to give to Nineveh. Up until this point, he hadn't received any instruction because he ran away to Chutzlaret. So as not to receive what exactly the instruction was to Nineveh, and therefore Lemar, he still needed to be told as to what to actually tell them. Posuk Beis, Kum, get up, Lech el Nineveh, go to Nineveh, Ho'ir HaGadola, the big city, Ukra Eleho, and call out to it, Es HaKariya, the calling, Asher Anuchi Daber Eleho, that I am speaking to you. Now I noticed that Ukra Eleho, the words of this pasuk are pretty much, the first part of the pasuk is pretty much exactly the same, word for word, as the instruction you received in Perek Aleph pasuk Beis. If you take a look at it there, Kum Lech al Nineveh Ho'ir HaGadola, the only difference is, what was the words there? Ukra Oleho. I mean, obviously the rest of it is different. The rest of it is different.
Eleho.
Yeah, this is Eleho as opposed to Oleho. Now again, I can't say I've looked around that much, but I didn't see anyone who speaks about this. But perhaps the difference could be like this: that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes somebody, or when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants somebody to do teshuvah, the first thing he does is he sends indirect messages to them, indirect sort of hints to do teshuvah. Like the Gemara says in Yevamos, that Ein Paronus Ba'alo Olam Ela Bishvil Yisrael, any punishment which comes into the world, right? When the, whatever it may be, the Twin Towers, whatever it was, it's always a message for us, right? It's indirect. But then, if we don't take the message, then what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he sends it direct. So therefore, the first time it says, Ukra Oleho, call out on it, about it. Don't speak to it directly, because the first time Hashem, at that point, there wasn't going to be any Ukamar Din. There wasn't going to be any mention of being destroyed after 40 days. It was just going to be a warning, tell them to do Teshuvah because they have sinned. So therefore, it's Ukra Oleho, talk about it. Whereas now, on this time, we'll see in Pasuk Dalet, he's going to tell them, he's going to warn them, you've got 40 days to live unless you do teshuvah. Therefore, Ukara Eleho is direct, it's a direct warning, Ukara Eleho, speak to it, not about it. Then he says, Es HaKriya, the Kriya, the calling, Asher Anuchi Daver Eleho. Now you'll note again, another difference is it does not say, Ki Olesara Osam Lefonai, which it said in Perek Aleph Pasuk Beis. And the reason was, as we said over there, because Ki Olesara Osam Lefonai means it's the stage before the Gemar Din. It means that the evil has reached the limit before which I'm going to mete out the punishment. But at this point, that doesn't come anymore, because now it's going to be the Gemar Din, therefore he doesn't say anything about Ki Olesara Osam Lefonai. That's what the Malbim points out over there. And finally, Asher Anochi Davei Elecha, that I am speaking to you, means as opposed to that first time when I never got as far as telling you what to tell them. So now I'm speaking to you, I'm about to tell you what to go and tell them. So Pasuk Gimel, Vayokom Yonah, and Yonah arose, Vayilech, and he went El Nineveh to Nineveh Kidvar Hashem, like the word of Hashem. Now the Alshik says that means that he didn't go to Nineveh because of the repercussions of the rebellion, not because of the suffering he had in the sea as a result of ignoring the word of Hashem. Rather, he went kidvar Hashem because Hashem had told him to do so. He said, "If that's what Hashem wants, that's what I'm going to do," not because of any potential suffering. And this is something which we find elsewhere. We find with the making of the Mishkan. The Beis Halevi says, that's the father of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, he says that we find by the making of the Mishkan, the whole way through, it keeps saying, Kasher Tzibah Hashem Es Moshe, as Hashem commands Moshe. And he explains the reason is because the sin in making the eagle, their kavonos, their intentions were all for the good. However, the one problem was they never contacted, I mean, Moshe wasn't there, but it hadn't received such instructions through Moshe from Hashem. And therefore, the tikkun, the way back, the way they could be misakin that was only by following the words of Hashem. That's what they did in the Mishkan. So too here, the sin of Yonah, as we said earlier, his intentions were for the good. He wanted to save Klal Yisrael, to save their skin, because as we said, Nineveh would show up, Klal Yisrael, because Nineveh were going to listen to the Navi straight away, something which Klal Yisrael had not done, and that his intentions were good, and for that he was rewarded. However, the problem was that he ran away, Milefnei Hashem, he ran away from before Hashem, we said from the Dveikus with Hashem, he tried to ignore the word of Hashem, and therefore the only way to be misaking that was now Kidvar Hashem, to follow the word of Hashem and nothing else. No other, if you want, ulterior motives. So that's one pshat. The other pshat is that Kidvar Hashem means like this. The Malbim, I think, the Malbim says that he thought to himself like this: I've received the first instruction, which was to go in the Perek Aleph, was to go and tell them that they've sinned. I do teshuva. Now I'm about to receive an instruction to tell them that they've got 40 days to live. Now the question is, does the second instruction, are they exclusive, or are they independent of one another, or can one go with the other? In other words, if you do teshuva, then you won't be destroyed. So he said to himself, he thought that Kidvar Hashem, he's going to tell them just the second instruction, that they are going to be destroyed. There's no way back, there's no teshuva to be done here, and that's what he did. Because he understood that it was already too late. We could add to that that it could be that he actually did that because he didn't want them to do teshuva. Because as we said, if they were to do teshuva, that would show up Klal Yisrael. Therefore, he thought, just go and tell them that they're going to be destroyed. They'd obviously give up hope, and that would be it. And it would save Klal Yisrael. Now it carries on. V'Nineveh hoysa ir gadoyla lelikim. And Nineveh was a big city to God, to Hashem. Now the question is, what is this lelikim? So the Malbim says that it could be Lelekim. We find elsewhere, we find Harare El, right? We find sometimes the Elekim and names of Hashem like that can be associated with things which it just means it's extremely big, extremely powerful, or something like that, extremely significant. Another possibility, says the Malbim, is that it was a city which was very significant in the eyes of Hashem. And that's why Hashem wanted to save Nineveh, to get them to do Teshuvah. But according to both of these Peshatim, it still bears the one problem, which is, why all of a sudden does it say here, right over here, Hoysa Irgadola Lelikim. Right? We had it in the Pasuk, the previous Pasuk, it says Hoyeragadola, it doesn't say Lelikim there. We had it in the first Parak, it also says Hoyeragadola, it doesn't say Lelikim. So why all of a sudden now does it pick on this Lelikim? So there's another possibility, and that is based on the Ibn Ezra says in the beginning of the first Parak, he says that actually they were an Irgadola Lelikim, means they were a city of Yirei Shamayim, they feared heaven, they were actually Chasidim, and that's why Hashem wanted to save them. Right? They were actually very good people there, and therefore Hashem wanted to save them because now they'd started to go wrong, and therefore Hashem wanted to save them. And that's how he explains, Hoysa, they were in the past. And that would really answer up our question, because in the previous Pasuk it just says, go to invade their big city. At the stage where they're holding now, they're no longer Lelekim. They've sinned, and therefore they can no longer be associated with Lelekim. So it's in the first paragraph. Take a look over there. But over here, it's Hoysa Irgadela Lelekim. They were a big city to Hashem. And therefore Hashem, that's why he's taking pity on them and he wants them to do Teshuvah. The one problem which the Mepharshim have with this, that Barbanel points out, is that they definitely were not a city of Yirei Lelekim. They were a city of evildoers. He says, Roim v'chatoim l'Hashem, Ashur. This is the town of Ashur. They were definitely Roim v'chatoim l'Hashem. So again, Be'ezus Hashem at the end, I'm going to try and give a mahalich, a completely different mahalich through this perek, on a slightly deeper level, and with that maybe we'll answer this question at the same time. Pasuk Dalet. Vayochel Yonah, and Yonah began lavovo ir, to come into the city, mahalach yom echod, the journey of one day. Now, sorry, I forgot to finish off the last pasuk. Is mahalach shalosh yomim. It said there that the city was so big that it took 3 days to go through it. Now over here it says in pasuk dalet vayachal yonah lavovo ir mahalach yom echod. He began to come into the city a journey of one day. Now the Ibn Ezra understands from this, for those of you interested in the maths here, he says he doesn't quote it like this, but this is really a source for pi. Right? We know that he says Mahalach Shalosh Yomim means a 3-day circumference of the city, and Mahalach Yom Echod means from one point in the city, from one edge of the city to the other side of the city.
And the house door key, your son's here. Oh, you're supposed to take one, sure, thank you.
So
Go back, what's that about
pi? So this is, in the Apostle Kimmel it says it was a 3-day journey, that's the circumference of the city. Yeah. And this is Ma'alach Yom Echod, means from one point of the city if you walk straight across through the, I suppose, through the center. In other words, you walk the diameter of it, which pi d is obviously is the circumference. And this is not the only place in Nach, because they disagree with this one, but there's definitely a reference to it in Melochim Aleph, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Yam Shel Shlomo, he built his special bath, whatever you want to call it, a big, where there it's quite clear, it says 30, it goes round, it's talking about the circumference and the length across, the diameter, and one's obviously three times the other. But as I said, the Mefarshim don't agree with the Ibn Ezra on this. I think I'm not sure who disagrees, I think it's the Abarbanel, yeah, the Abarbanel again disagrees with this, because he says that the Pasuk says, Vayochad, he began to go. Doesn't say he actually walked one day was across the whole city. He began to come into the city, Mahalach Yom Echod, implying that he hadn't walked the whole length of the city. So therefore, we can go with the Malbim's Peshat. The Malbim says that it means that Yonah had the following dilemma. He thought that if he, when does the 40 days start, right? He's about to be told that you've got 40 days. When did the 40 days start from? Imagine he walked just into the city and he said you've got 40 days. So the people at the edge of the city are going to start calculating the 40 days immediately. It's going to take him 3 days to get to the other side and they'll start calculating another. He didn't know which one was correct. So what he did was he walked a day into the city, waited for day two, which is obviously the middle day, and then on day two, he gave the prophecy. He thought that if that's the middle, right, that would be the, if you want, the average point in the, sort of the middle point in the city, it would make sense that's when it would start from. Vayikra vayomar, and then he called out and he said that oid arboim yom, in other words, aside from this day, you've got a further 40 days, and he thought by that he'd cover himself, because that means even if it does start only from the end of the city, i.e. 3 days into the city, that would give him the extra day. In other words, an extra 40 days from today, yeah, 40 days besides today, I should say, right? Nineveh will be overturned. Now, that's the way the Malbim explains it. But some ask that we don't actually find that his prophecy was fulfilled, right? When was Nineveh overturned? So the Abarbanel says because of that, he wants to say that Yom does not mean day, it means years. We find this in the Torah, you find occasionally that Yom can mean a year. And he says that Oid, the word Oid, Ayin Vav Dalet is Gematria 80, and Arboim plus the Arboim 40 is 120. So he says in 120 years, Nineveh will be overturned, and says that Abarbanel, that's exactly what happened. 120 years from now, Nebuchadnezzar, in the first year of his reign, he came and overturned, we'll speak about this later, but he came and overturned Nineveh, right? It was the year before he started destroying his whole thing with the Beis HaMikdash, right? So 120 years from now, he says that Malbim, he's not so convinced. He says there's serious contradictions in the calculations of the Abarbanel, but nonetheless, that's what the Abarbanel says. And the Malbim says, look, if you want to go with such an idea, then he says, just say Arboim Yom means 40 years. 40 years from now, they would be punished, because 40 years from now, we also find that Nineveh was punished. Where was that? That was Ashur. Or Sancheirav. Sancheirav came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Again, we'll speak about this hopefully at the end. It was actually in the 15th year of Malchus Chizkiyahu, and he came and he blasphemed Hashem through the son of Chizkiyahu, and the Malach of Hashem descended and he wiped out all his ranks, all his armies, and that was actually 40 years from now. But says the Malbim, the truth is you don't really have to come onto all these pshatim. He says it means 40 days from now. So where is the fulfillment of the prophecy? He says there's no, it doesn't have to be fulfilled. It was said on condition. Right? If you don't do teshuva, then it will be in 40 years' time. And this, I mean, okay, there's further sources, but not for now, which indicate that such a thing can be the case, that a prophecy can be given on condition. What is the significance of 40, by the way? 40, we find, again, I can give you many, many, many examples, but 40 always is the symbol of completion, right? The source that is Ben Arboim Labino. 40 is the thing of understanding, which means completely comprehending something, which is always associated with completion. Just to give you a couple of examples, which are negiah to us, is going to be how many lashes does a person receive? It says Malchus Arboim. Although it's 39, the Maharal explains why the last one is not necessary. That's not for now, but theoretically it's actually 40. The last one's not necessary, but that's to complete, to be misaking the whole body. You also find 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur. Also the same idea, because through Teshuvah we can recomplete the person. As I said, 40 years in the wilderness.
40 days, 40 nights.
Moshe, exactly, right? You have it with the marble was 40 days as well, right? To be misaking. You always find this thing. 40 is a very, very significant. And especially with Teshuvah, that's why I've just quoted these examples, but you find that I can give you tens of examples of this. So that 40 days is the idea that through Teshuvah you've got 40 days to make or break. And at the end of it, which Rashi says that he didn't say it will be destroyed, because the word Ne'apoches can be interpreted in one of two ways. Either it's going on Nineveh, the city of Nineveh will be overturned, right? In other words, if you don't do Teshuvah, and if you do Teshuvah, then the men of Nineveh, Ne'apoches, will change from bad to good, and obviously they'll survive, right? So therefore, by using the word Ne'apoches, it's got two opposite meanings, which refer to whether you do Teshuvah or you don't. Pasuk Hey, and the men of Nineveh, they believed in Hashem, they believed in God. The most simple pshat in that is, again, the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra says earlier on in the Perek, Pasuk Gimel, he says that the sailors from the ship of Yonah, they went ahead and they told the men of Nineveh the whole story. So therefore, when Yonah came along and he told them the instructions from Hashem, then they were obviously well prepared. And they believed, there was no questioning it. Therefore, they believed it. But the Malbim adds on that they didn't seek any osu mofes, they didn't seek any sign that what he was coming to tell them was from Hashem. They accepted his word, they believed it straight away, and they didn't even try to do teshuvah, right? Because they didn't think, Yonah hadn't told them that they'd actually sinned. They just thought that Hashem had decreed they're going to be destroyed in 40 days. So therefore, straight away, by Yikru Tzom, they called out a fast, they declared a fast, by Yilbashu Sakim, and they put on sackcloth, Migadolam Vad Ketanam, from the big to the small, right? Which basically mean, I mean, the older to the younger, obviously. But now, the point is, they only davened here, just number one, is they davened to Hashem, right? They were davening to Hashem, but only because Be'elikim, because they heard the name of Hashem. When they heard the name of Hashem, then they said, obviously, this is a message from Hashem, therefore we're going to daven to Hashem. That's going to be in contrast to what we see in the next pasuk. But the other point is that Megadolam Ve'ad Ketanon means that the Hachno, the subduing, right, which they went through here, started the Megadolam from the older ones, and then it was finished off by the Ketanon, which is obviously a great lesson in chinuch and education and other things, is that the younger, the children obviously follow the older, right? And again, we'll see Be'ezus Hashem, if we get to it at the end of the Perek, I'll discuss again why this was so significant. It's always Megadolam, they followed suit, right? Whatever the older ones did, that's what the smaller ones did. And we'll see this in the next Pasuk as well. Pasuk Vob, Vayigah Adavar El Melech Nineveh, and the matter reached the king of Nineveh. Now, Dahaini, that means to say that the king of Nineveh, he didn't need to hear the Shem Elokim, the name of Hashem. The minute he heard the Dovah, the matter, i.e. that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days, straight away he sort of was aroused. Vayokom Mikisai, and he went sort of in stages. Number one, he got up from upon his throne, i.e. something which is external of his clothes. He got up from upon his throne, and then he removed his aderes, which Rashi says means a very expensive and valuable piece of clothing, perhaps some sort of a scarf, very valuable scarf, which again is a royal clothing, the Al-Sheikh says. So that was the next stage. He took that off from upon him. Then Vayichas Sak, in place of the Aderes, in place of this clothing, he covered himself with sackcloth. Again, a show of subduing himself. And finally, Vayishev Al Oifen, in place of the throne which he was sitting upon, he sat down on the ashes. Now, the Al-Sheikh adds on to this that the significance of sitting in the ashes was as if to say that he was saying to Hashem that I am fully sort of cognizant that Be'etzem we should have been exactly like Sodom. And again, Be'ezrat Hashem will speak about later on why he picks on Sodom. But the point is that he's saying that we should have been burnt up and destroyed with sulfur and fire from the heavens, just like Sodom. And therefore, I am sort of forever thankful to you, eternally thankful to you, that you've at least left me like a sort of the spit on the fire, which survives. That's what it means. By Yishev al Eifer, he sat on the ashes as if to say, Baruch Hashem, I've survived this. Then Posek Zion, Vayazik, he commanded, he called out. He commanded that it should be called out. Vayoma, and he said, Beninaveh. In fact, before we go on, the point is exactly how we saw in Posek Hay, that the Al-Sheikh, I think it is, points out, only once he'd actually accepted upon himself, he'd sort of led by example, then he went and instructed the people as to what to do. Because again, if you don't, if a person is hypocritical, then no one's going to listen to him. Right? You've got to lead by example, and therefore only once he had done sackcloth and sat on the ashes, then he called out, issued the decree, by Yemeni, and he said, Beninveh in Ninveh, Mitam Hamelech Ugadolov Lemur, from the advice of the Rashi says it means the advice of the king and his great advisors, he issued the following instruction. Lemur saying, Ha'odom v'habehimah, the man and the animals, and we'll go on in a minute. What's that lemur doing there, right? It's already said by him, he said, what's lemur? So the Al-Sheikh says a beautiful idea here. He says that when there's a difference between spiritual illness and physical illness, when a person's got a physical ailment, then he realizes it's not within his hands. He doesn't know what's wrong with him, number one. He may even give up hope. So what does he do? He goes along to the doctor. And the doctor can do various tests, and eventually he can diagnose what the problem is and give him medicine. However, when it comes to a spiritual ailment, when it's a problem with the inside, the soul or something like that, then it's only in the hands of the sick person himself, because only he knows what he's done wrong, and only he has the key to do teshuva. And that's what it means, Lemar Ha'odom. He was saying to the person himself, right? It was a message. He was saying Ha'odom to the person. In other words, I can't tell you exactly how to do teshuvah. I'm just speaking to you, Ha'odom, to the person, each individual for himself, as to how about what exactly he has to repent for. In other words, and what this means to say is that the Novi, you can have a Novi who can tell you to do teshuvah. He can tell you what needs repairing, but at the end of the day, the key to teshuvah lies in the heart of every person, and it's up to him to ignite that potential and to return to Hashem. So he said, Ha'odom to the human being, Vahabahimo, and the animals, that means domesticated animals, those which actually live in the house. Ha'bokor Vahatzon, then perhaps the more non-domesticated animals, the herds and the sheep, right? The cows and the sheep, aliyit amu mu'umo. Do not taste anything. In other words, you've got to fast. That's going on the ho'odom va'abehimo. The human beings and the domesticated animals, you're not allowed to eat. Aliyiru, do not graze. That's obviously going on the non-domesticated animals, those which normally graze in the field. Umayim aliyishtu, and do not drink water. That's going on everyone, right? This is a public fast, and he's telling even the animals have to take part in this, which again, we'll see, Be'ezrat Hashem, soon we'll see why that was, why the animals have to take a part in this. So Pasuk Ches, v'yiskasu sakim, and they should cover themselves with sackcloth, ha'odom v'habehimo, both the human beings and the animals, right? This time it doesn't actually mention the non-domesticated animals, but at least the animals, they have to take part in this. V'yikru'u el elekim b'chozka, and they should call out to Hashem, literally with strength. Now this means calling out to Hashem, that means tefillah, right? The first thing is that means tefillah. What is the chozka? What does it mean with strength? So Rashi says what they did was they tied up the mothers in one corner, and they tied up the children in another corner, and they turned to Hashem and they said, speak blackmail to Hashem, and they said, if you don't have mercy on us, then we're not going to have mercy on these people, and we're going to, I suppose the mothers will die, and the children will die with the lack of food. So they said, speak blackmail to Hashem, and this is something which I once heard from Rabbi Avraham Fortune. I don't know if you know him, but he taught me a Menorah grammar, and he once said that, I can't remember who it was, a person in Nach, I'm not sure who it was. He says that that a person, when it comes to, at least when it comes to Ruchnius, when it comes to spiritual requests from Hashem, a person, obviously with great respect, can, so to speak, blackmail Hashem. He can say to Hashem, if you don't give me the ability to, for example, to understand this this piece of Gemara or this piece of Chumash, whatever it is, then what's the point of me living, right? I mean, when I said it, obviously it's got to be done with respect, but a person can use this as a vehicle to show Hashem how desperate he is to draw closer to Hashem. And obviously this was a quite desperate measures they took here. But this idea gives us another message in Teshuvah, which perhaps we could point out over here, is the Radak at the beginning of Yonah. He says, "What this is one of the reasons why this whole story is recorded here, is because it's to teach us various messages in Teshuvah, which is how we're going to continue the Posuk now. So we've had, V'yikru el Elokim means davening to Hashem. Next thing is, V'yoshuvu ish midarko haro. Each man should return, should repent from his bad way. Now that means Teshuvah. What's Teshuvah? That means confession and regret. And perhaps we could add, it says, ish midarko hara'o, from his bad way. Ho, by the way, right? Hara'o, the, right? With the definitive hey, right? Because each person knows for himself where he, what's his weak point is, where his yetzer, where the evil inclination gets him. And therefore it's up to each person to act for himself. And finally, then he says, umin hechomos asher b'chapehem. And from the chomos means the stealing that is in their hands. Because when it comes to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, when it comes to sins which are between one man and his fellow Jew, all the vidui, all the confession and all the clapping al chait is not going to help you unless you appease your friends and you return the stolen articles, right? So what we actually have here is, if you think about it, we've actually got the three on a Yom Nerayim, we say there's three parts to Teshuvah. What are those? We say Teshuvah, Tefillah, Tzedakah. Right? You've got the Teshuvah, the Tefillah, and Tzedakah is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. You've got the three parts of Teshuvah here. Which I was just thinking, just a couple of things, that number one, these perhaps correspond to the obvious, right? The obvious. You got Avraham was the thing of Gemilas Chasodin. I mean, that's quite obvious, right? That's Stocker. Yitzchak is Avodah, right? Yitzchak is always associated with Avodah, the Akedah, which is obviously is Tefillah. And finally, Yaakov is perhaps the most difficult one, but he actually is Teshuvah. Why is he Teshuvah? Because Yaakov is the one who, he's called the Bechir Sheva Ovis, and we say that Mitosu Shelema, he was the one who finally brought everything to its completion. Right? He was referred to as an Ish Tom, right? An Oshon of Tomim, right? Completion, being perfect. Because, obviously Avraham went the first stage, but his children weren't all Tzadikim, he had Yishmael. Then, right, that's the Arabs. Then you've got Yitzchak, he had one son was a Tzadik, Yaakov, but then you had Esau. Whereas Yaakov had all his children were all Tzadikim, and therefore he was the one who finally brought everything back to its completion. Which, if you want, was in some ways a microcosm for all of history, which was going to have to go through that again to finally bring everything back to its completion in with the final good, with the final redemption. And therefore, if you want, the Ovis, they were the ones who were Miyasi, they set down the foundations for the complete person who serves Hashem. And through these, if a person follows these three parts, the Teshuvah, the Tefillah, and the Tzedakah, i.e. the Tzedakah of Avraham Avinu, the Tefillah of Yitzchak, and the Teshuvah of Yaakov, through that a person can get the same relationship which the Ovis have with Hashem, and they can eventually bring about the final Geulah. The other thing is, we mentioned this in Megillas Esther, that we noted there, it was based on something the Yosef Sheresh Avida says, the word Odom stands for three things. Odom refers to Odom, right? The Odom stands for Odom itself. That means that a person has, in fact, let's go this way, a person has three components, right? He has Odom, which is the person himself, right? If you want the power of intellect, and it could be the body, the person, whatever it is. Then you've got the Dalet stands for Dibur, the power of speech. And then the Mem stands for Maisa, the power of action. And we saw over there, just referring back to there, when Esther went into, she went into Achashverosh, it says she fell down in front of him and she was crying. And, Vatizchanan, she pleaded to him, right? Which based on the Vilna Gaon, I think it was, we explained that you find these three things there, right? She cried. That was that was coming from the heart. That's the person itself. She fell down in front of him. The idea of falling is a mice, is an action. And then the Vatizchanan, pleading with him with tefillah, that was the power of dibur. And so to here you find these three things. The odom refers to teshuvah, that a person has to find, he has to have the bitterness of heart. That comes from the person, the atzmius of the person, the person himself. Then you've got the dalet is the dibur, is the power of speech, that's tefillah. And then you've got the repairing the maisa, which is by doing something, putting it into action, that's the tzedakah. That's one approach to this pasuk. Another approach is the Al-Sheikh wants to say, this is going to be pertinent to what he says in pasuk Yud, that he says, V'yoshuvu ish midarko haro, means each person should return, should go back, midarko haro, u'minachomas refer to two different stages of gezel, of stealing. Midarko haro means the present gezel, right? So it refers to gezel, which they still have in their hands, and umin hachomos asher bechapeim refers to gezel in the past, right? It refers to stealing which they did in the past, and he bases it on something which Chazal say, but that's the basic idea. And that will, as I said, we'll have to remember that for posikyut. Now, one thing which is worth noting is why does it pick on min hachomos? Right, this is going to be very, it's going to be building to what we're going to speak about at the end, is that because the right, it refers to stealing, which is why that was actually the Gezar Din. The final judgment was actually sealed, signed and sealed because of stealing. Something which we find in both the dirt of the Mabul, right? We'll speak about that as Hashem, and in Sodom. Both of them have the same thing. And it may well be, I was just thinking, it could well be that because of that, that's why in Pasuk Vav it says, Vayeshev Ado Eifed, he sat down on the ashes, which we said that Al-Shech says, and that was as if to say that we should have also been burnt up like the men of Sodom. Why should we have been burnt up like the people of Sodom? Because we've also had our Gezar Din signed and sealed because of the Chomos. It's the same words you'll find over there. It's because of the stealing. Now, why is stealing so such a problem? Right? Why is it so bad? More than that's a Gilui Arayos, immorality, and Avodah Zarah, and all these things. So the two possibilities. The Radak says because stealing destroys the Yishuv Olam, destroys the inhabitation of the world, right? The normal run of the course of events, right? By stealing, you disrupt all of that. And therefore, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world to run with a certain Seder. And when you destroy that Seder, so then Hashem says, right, I'm going to have to take action. However, with all other sins, Hashem, when I said he's not, I don't mean to say he's not interested, but with the Goyim, he's not overly, when I say overly bothered, he's not going to take action against them, generally speaking. However, with the Jews, because we are the chosen nation, therefore Hashem does take action. The Pasuk, he quotes the Pasuk in Amos, which says, Rak eschem yodati, only you I have known, mikol mishpachos ha'adama, from all the families of the land. Al-Kin, therefore, efsoik aleichem es kol aveneseichem, I will mete out punishment on you because of all your sins, right? It's a special treatment for us because we are the chosen and selected nation. But another approach is, based on the Ramban in Parashas Noach, that we could say like this. The Ramban says that he's explaining why the Gezar Din, the final punishment, was signed and sealed because of stealing over there. He says is because gezel is a mitzvah which is intellectual. A person doesn't need to be brainwashed. A person grows up. Most people grow up with that with a simple knowledge that a person can't steal what belongs to somebody else. Right? For example, take Avodah Zarah. Right? What's wrong with Avodah Zarah? You try and explain that to a person. What's wrong with Avodah Zarah? Right? People don't mean, so we'll serve Hashem. We believe in Hashem. We also believe that the sun's got certain koches. What's wrong with that? Right? We need Hashem to tell us you can't believe in that. Right? Take even Gilui Arayos, immorality, right? I'm not talking about where a man takes again. What, you know? Let's say everyone agrees, right? Swapping of the wives, right? Right? As we may think it's you know, completely immoral, but again, why? That's only because we've been brought up that way. If everyone agrees, what's wrong with it, right? Whereas gezel, stealing, everyone knows is wrong, right? Anyone who's brought up in any society which has got any sense of morals, obviously he wouldn't. So therefore, when it comes to other sins, Hashem says, look, a person's got a taiva, a person's got a desire, a yetzahara, he doesn't really understand why it's wrong, so fine, I'll give him time to do teshuva. However, when it comes to stealing, Hashem says, there's no excuse. Stealing is something which you know full well is wrong. You don't need me to really instruct you. And this is based by the Ramban, as explained by Rabbi Rucham Levavitz. And so therefore Hashem says, once it comes to stealing, that's it. I'm going to take straight action. And that's actually what happened with Sodom. That's what happened with the Mabul. And that's what's happening over here. Hashem says, once there was stealing, Hashem says, right, that's it. You've got 40 days. If they, now that they're going to retract from the stealing, then Hashem says, I'll give you more time, or I'll at least perhaps give you more time, or I'll retract it completely. And says the Al-Shech, this whole posik is written in a, if you want, in a generalized term. Right? Everyone should cover themselves in sackcloth. Everyone, this is generalized. In posik test, however, now it's going to be sort of specific for each person. What's that? In posik test, mi yodeya yoshuv. The one who knows, he should repent. In other words, going back to, this means to say, the Malvin says this refers to sins which were done in private, no one else knows about, only you know about. And says the Al-Sheikh, only the sinner knows about it, as we said above, and therefore only it's in your hands, as we said in Pasuk Zayin, it's in your hands to do teshuva. Mi yodeya yashuv, the one who knows, he should do teshuva. And if you do so, then v'necham ho'elikim, then Hashem will most definitely, he will definitely retract the gezeira, the decree which is hanging over our heads. And then v'shom yicharnapo, and then he will return, for he will retract from his burning anger, v'lo neved, and we will not be destroyed. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that you read it like this. Mi yodeya yoshuv. A person should know that if he were to do teshuvah, a person should realize it's a Gemara really, that every person should really view the world as being completely equal in the scales, right? Half zechuyos, half merits, and half averus. And for every action that you do could tip the scales, right? Therefore it says, mi yodeya yoshuv. Every person should know that if he were to do on his personal level, on his individual level, he were to do teshuvah, v'nechamu alekim, then Hashem would, he would retract, and we, in the public sense, right, in the plural sense, we will not be destroyed. Because a person can, one person's actions, as we said, it's a posuk which says, right? The one person, one sin of a person can destroy a lot of good. Right? The point being over here is that, it's, as we said, it's the king speaking over here. He was the one who understood that since Hashem had sent Yonah, obviously there was still hope. There was still hope of doing teshuvah. And therefore that's why he's urging everyone to do it. Whereas everyone else thought they had no hope, they just davened Hashem. They didn't actually start to fast or anything like that. I mean, they did stone sackcloth, but that was about it. Pasuk Yud. Vayarho elekim es maaseim. And Hashem saw their actions. Now what this means is that originally, as we said, they just davened Hashem. They didn't actually put anything into action because they didn't realize that they had to do teshuvah. But once the king came along, he told them, put it into action, i.e. return the gezel, return the stolen articles. Then once Hashem saw that, Hashem saw their actions, kishovu midarkom haro, that they had retracted from their bad actions, from their bad ways. Then he was going to forgive them. We could also say that Kishov Midarkom Ara is based, there's a Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah that says that when he's speaking about the different aspects of Teshuvah, he says that you have to reach the stage where V'yoid, I'm just quoting his Loshan, he says, V'yoid Olov Yodea Ta'alumas Sheleyoshu Loze Achi Lo'olam. Your Teshuvah has to be so sincere that Hashem, who knows all the hiddenmost parts of the recesses of your heart and things like that, he will personally testify about you that you will never return to that track and that Derech again. And that's what it means over here. Hashem saw that their teshuvah was sincere. Kishovu midarkom hara, that they had retracted from their bad way. And based on that, then, vayinochem ho'elekim, Hashem reconsidered al hara for the bad. Asher deber la'asislam, that he had spoken to do to them, velo osa, and he did not do. Which, just one final shot before we explain the velo osa, is that the, I think it's the Al-Sheikh says, yeah, that it could be, based on what he said in Pasuk Ches, that it means that Hashem saw that they had retracted midarkom haro. If you look in Pasuk Ches, we had midarkom haro min achomos, that they had retracted from the stealing which had been done most recently. And therefore, even though that they had not retracted, they had not repented for the stealing which was in the past, min achomos, still nonetheless, Hashem forgave them. And velo osa, and he did not do, that means velo osa, that refers to the anger. If you look in Pasuk Ches, you have two things there. It says, v'shov micharen apo. Right? And that means Hashem did not do in accordance with his anger. Right? That's the double velo osa. Another possibility as to what the velo osa is, because obviously it seems to be repetitive, is that Al-Sheikh says that it could be that we find with Achav that although he subdued himself in front of Hashem, and therefore the punishment did not come in his generation, it came in the generations of his children. Over here it says velo osa, that Hashem did not do even to his children, he didn't even punish his children. And finally, one last pashat could be that the Malbim says like this, that once Hashem, once they had retracted, let's go this way, once they had committed the sin of stealing, then what Hashem did was, Hashem said, I'm going to now take it off the autopilot, if you want, of Teva, and I'm going to punish them with something which shouldn't come through Teva, through the natural course of events. But once they retracted from the stealing, and then Hashem said, fine, now, velo osa, he's not going to do. Right? That means to say that if the natural course of events would have dictated that they should be punished anyway, then that's what would have happened. But since according to nature, they would not, according to Mazel, whatever you want to call it, they would not be punished at least for now. Therefore Hashem said, I'll leave it to the run of nature. Now I think this is extremely significant based on what we said earlier. Because why is it that chomos, why is it that stealing is so severe? It's because we said that stealing goes against the natural instincts of a person. A person knows that it's wrong to steal. Therefore, if you steal, then Hashem says, I'm going to, as we said, take it off the autopilot of nature and I will act accordingly. If you break out of the parameters of teva, of nature, then middle can hang middle, so that's what I'm going to do. And that's exactly what you find with the Zohar Mabul. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Hashem changed around all the stars and things like that in order to bring about the Mabul. It was completely the wrong side of the year, according to one opinion in the Gemara. The expression of Mabul comes from Bilbul. One of the explanations of Mabul means mixed up. Right? Everything was mixed up. Even the behemoths, even the animals, they also started committing immorality because everything broke out of its Seder. So too you find with Sodom, the same thing. With Sodom, it always says that Hashem would turn it, Hofach. Hashem will turn it over. What does it mean turning over? That means what's above will now be below, and what was below will be above. In other words, everything will be turned around. Seder will be, the whole thing of order will be destroyed. Right? The whole thing of Teva, the natural course of events, will be destroyed. And that's exactly what we found over here. If you take a look again in Pasuk Dadot, we had V'Nineveh, what was the expression? Nehepoches. The last word in the Pasuk. V'Nineveh Nehepoches. Nineveh will be, right? V'Nafuchu, will be turned up on its head, right? Which means their natural course of events, the nature will be destroyed. But now that they had to repent from that, they had to return the gezel, all that they'd stolen, then Hashem said, now I'm going to leave it now to the course of nature. Now, Be'ezus Hashem, that's the end of the perek. I'm just going to, with the remaining time, I'm going to try and give a slightly deeper appreciation of what's going on over here, and perhaps a brief history of Nineveh, right? So let me just start with a Gemara, and we'll sort of build up to it, and we'll answer various questions in this perek. So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin which says like this. I'll just quote to you the Gemara. The Gemara says that Tana Mishmeidu Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, it's been taught in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Paro Shechirif Ba'atzmo, Paro who blasphemed Hashem himself, Nifra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mimenu Ba'atzmo, Hashem punished him himself. Right? Bechvedu Ba'atzmo. Hashem came down and punished him in Kriyas Yamsuf or Marcus Bechiris. Sancheirev Shechirif Haridei Shriach, where Sancheirev who blasphemed Hashem by way of a messenger, i.e. through the son of Chizkiah, as we said earlier, Nifra HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mimenu Aradei Shliach, Hashem punished him by way of a messenger. Now the first thing to note is that there is a definite correlation, a definite connection between these two events, i.e. Paro and Sancheirev. Why do I say that? Because the Gemara says further on, it says, Bameh Hikom, with what did Hashem, it's actually the Malach, with what did Hashem, the Malach, smite Sancheirev? So the Gemara quotes two opinions. One is with the, it says, Biyad, with the hand. And what's the posuk the Gemara quotes? Which hand? The hand which was at Kriyas Yamsuf. The other opinion in the Gemara is that it was Be'etzba, with the finger. Which finger? Shenemar. Vayomer HaChatumim El Paro, the sorcerer said to Paro, Etzba Elokimi, same thing. It's the finger of Hashem. And the Gemara says that's the finger which is going to punish Sancheirev in the future. Perhaps we could go even one stage further, and that is that the Medrash says that that night when the Malach came down, as we said, that was the Gemara we referred to earlier, that night when the Malach came down and wiped out the camps of Sancheirev, which night was that? It was the night of Pesach. Right? So there's a definite, very, very definite connection over here. So the question is, what is the connection? So let's be mucked in. There's a Medrash which says like this. There's a Medrash which says, and this is where it comes into what's relevant to us, Min ha'aretz ahi yotza Ashur, right? Apostle Noach. From that land, Ashur went out. That was in the Dor of the Haflogah, right? The Dor of the Dispersion, which followed the Dor of the Mabul. And the Medrash says, Min ha'aretz ahi yotza Ashur. From that council, Ashur went out. When he saw that the people were coming to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he said, I'm not having a part in this. And therefore he went away. As a reward for that, Hashem rewarded him with four big cities. And the biggest of them was Nineveh. Right, the Pasuk says he built up four cities, Es Nineveh, Ves Rechoves, Ir, Ves Kolach, Ves Resa. Right? So you got four cities there, and the biggest of them was Nineveh. So the problem was, however, just finishing off the Medrash and then we'll explain it, that once he joined hands with those who wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, I'm not having any of this. And what did he do? He sent along and he wiped out their camps. And just to quote you the Pasuk which it ends off with, what does it say when he joins hands with those to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? It says, L'fichach ha'yizorei livnei Lot Selah. Therefore, they will be with the arm of the children of Lot Selah. What does that mean? Let me try and explain this. As I said, I may be wrong, I may be right. Let me share with you an idea. The Darav Da'aflogah, right, they wanted to argue against what we call the Yichud of Hashem, right, the oneness of Hashem, right? They said, we don't like this idea that Hashem's up there and we're down here, right? We're not, therefore, right, this is the way the Maharal explains it, that they wanted to raise themselves off the ground. They said, we're not having any of this. So what did Hashem do? Hashem himself, b'chvoido uva atzmo, he himself, it says the Pasuk, v'yofetz Hashem esam, Hashem b'chvoido uva atzmo, he came down and scattered them across the face of the globe, right? B'chvoido uva atzmo, as we said, as the Medrash said, because they themselves argued against Hashem, the yichud of Hashem, the oneness, Hashem himself came down. What did Ashur do? Ashur, he said, I'm not having a hand in this, and he went away, and he was zeichet to build up four big cities. Scene two is Paro. Paro repeats the same thing. He comes out, he blasphemes Hashem, and he says, "Me Hashem, Asher Eshma v'Kodeh. Who is Hashem that I should listen to His voice?" What happens? Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'chvedo v'atzmo comes down, and he with Kriyas Yamsuf, and he drowns them all. But we all know the Medrash, which Mi Chamocha Bo'edim Hashem. Who said those words? It was Paro. Paro, as he was drowning in the Kriyas Yamsuf, he said, "Who is like you, Hashem?" And what happens? Hashem saved him, right? And he did teshuvah. And where did he go? He became king over none other than Nineveh, right? There's no coincidence. I mean, I don't think there's a coincidence in this. Many years after that, scene three, Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, right, once again it's Ashur, he goes out and he blasphemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? History is repeating itself, right? He blasphemes HaKadosh Baruch Hu by way of a messenger this time. Who's that? Rav Shakod, the son of Chizkiyahu. So, and he wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? So it says the Gemara, that it says, it's quoting a pasuk in Yeshaya, My oit hayim b'noiv lamed. What does the pasuk mean? It says there's still today in noiv to stand. It's translating literally. So it says the Gemara that Rav Huna said that today there is still the sin of noiv still remains. What does that mean? What is the sin of noiv? People don't know. Just briefly, Doi Kardomi, he went when Shaul was chasing after David to kill him. So David took refuge in the city of Noiv. Right? They didn't realize and. So Doeg went and informed on them, and he told David. So what did he told Shaul. So Shaul said, "Go wipe out Noiv," and that's what they did. And they wiped out pretty much all the Kohanim. Right, there was only Abiasar who remained. Right, so that sin was always held against them. It was a very grave sin until later on. So therefore, that sin says, "Osayim nishtayer me'avin ashonlo." That sin still remains, and therefore Sancheirev had the ability that day to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara continues that his star seer, right, those who see into the stars, his astrologers, whatever you want to call them, they came along to him and they said, if you go and destroy them today, then you'll be successful. If you don't go today, then forget it. We won't be successful. So he comes along and he's all tired. And he says, all right, so he takes a look from the mountain, looks down on Yerushalayim, he says, all right, it's so small, I'll do it tomorrow. That night, what happens? It's wiped out the camps of Ashur. Right, that's the Gemara over there. Now, this is where it's relevant to, we're coming up to 3 weeks, hopefully the Beis HaMikdash will come before that, but that's at least it. On the off chance that it doesn't, let's at least take the message of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Avraham Avinu, we'll get a bit of everything here. So Avraham Avinu, he asked Hashem, "Vamo'i daki Roshen," he says, Rashi explains, what zuchus will Klal Yisrael sort of survive all, in times of the Beis HaMikdash, and how can they atone for themselves? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in the Zuchus of the Karbonis. What does that mean? So the Nefesh HaChaim says that this, Shem Chaim Veloshana, he says that we have to understand when the Goyim come along to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, they have no control of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Because it's something spiritual. They can't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What they can do is, once we've destroyed the inner meaning of the Beis HaMikdash, then they can destroy the sticks and stones if you want the physical structure of the Beis HaMikdash. Right, he's just quoting a Gemara, right? Nebuzaradan, I think it was, after he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he was all proud of himself. It was quite a tough job. If you take a look at the Gemara, it took him a long time to succeed. So then I think it was a heavenly voice emanated and said, don't be so proud of yourself. It says, Kimcha tachina tachinat. It says, you've ground up ready ground flour. Now this Beis HaMikdash, and the Rav Chaim Veloshner says, that means the Beis HaMikdash has already been destroyed, i.e. the inner Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. How? By us. So too over here, I think this is the same shot in the Gemara over here. By killing the Kohanim of Noiv, who was the inner significance, the inner meaning of the Beis HaMikdash, i.e. the Kohanim, the Avodah, that destroyed the inner essence of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Sancheirev had the ability on that night, that day, we'll see why only that day in a minute, he had the ability, he says, that sin was still outstanding, he could have destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Because at that point, having destroyed the city of Noiv, the inner meaning of the Beis HaMikdash, they could have wiped them out. However, he decided not to do it that day. What was the significance of that day? So now let's go back to what I said to you earlier. What night was that? Night of Pesach. Who was born on the night of Pesach? I mean, who was at least, the Malach came along and said he would be born that night. I mean, sorry, he would be born later on in history. The Malachim came to Avraham, right? And so, yeah, it was on that night. It says Leil Pesach. Yitzchok, who was born from that, he was the pillar of Avodah. So therefore, that gave protection. From that night onwards, they now had the protection. With the imminent arrival of Yitzchok, now they had the protection. He's done with Avodah, the Avodah once again, which Nov had been destroyed, that took away the Avodah, now they had it back. So therefore, that was it. That was all over for Ashur, for Sancheirev, and he was destroyed. He went back, and where did he go? He went back to Nineveh. Who did he join hands with? Ammon and Moab. Why Ammon and Moab? There were lots of people who wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Why Ammon and Moab? The answer is, who was also born from that night? I mean, pretty much that night. Those same Malachim went along to Lot to overturn Sodom. They overturned Sodom. They went out to Sodom. And the daughters of Lot, L'shem Shamayim, we must add, L'shem Shamayim, they thought that the world was completely devoid of people. And that was the end of humanity. So therefore, L'shem Shamayim, they had relations with their father. Who came forth from that? Ammon and Moab. So therefore, he thought, Ashur thought, Sancheirev thought, if he goes and joins hands with them, they could have some sort of a attack on Yitzchok, right? This who was born from that night. So too the Bnei Lot came from that. And that, I think, is why if you look, that's why I said to you, look at what the Medrash finishes off. It doesn't say, L'fichocha Yizurei Alibnei Ammon and Moab. It doesn't say that. It says, L'fichocha Yizurei Alibnei Lot. The significance is Lot, not Ammon and Moab. It's the fact that Lot was also, the same Malachim went to Lot on that same, also on Pesach. Let's just finish off one last point here. So what was the mistake of Sancheirev then? The mistake was that he understood, yeah, he was told that if you didn't fight that day, it'd be finished. He understood, he knew full well, that the only way to destroy the Beis HaMikdash was only if there was some sort of breach already in the Beis HaMikdash. But he thought, when he looked at it, he said, I don't need a breach in the Beis HaMikdash, it's such a small thing. He didn't realize that the breach means a spiritual breach. Right? And therefore, if there's no spiritual breach, however small the Beis HaMikdash is, however small Yerushalayim is, you'll never be able to overcome it. And that was his big mistake. So now let's go back to, let's take it up back in Yonah. The Dor HaFlogo, right? The Dor HaFlogo was a continuation of the Dor HaMabul, right? Why? Because they didn't take the message of the Dor HaMabul. One pshat is why they built the tower was to hold up Shemayim. They thought there's going to be a Mabul and another however many thousand, whatever it is, years. So they decided, right? So they didn't take the message. Ashur, on the other hand, he took the message and he went and built Nineveh. I think that's pshat. Let's go back into, we'll read some of these psukim now. We'll answer some of the questions we had earlier. In Pasuk Gimel, it says, "Vayokam Yonah vayelech Nineveh." Yonah got up and he went to Nineveh, kidvar Hashem. VeNineveh hoisa ir gadola lelekim. Nineveh was a big city lelekim to Hashem. And we said, "What's lelekim?" So we said that Ibn Ezra means that they were Yirei Shamayim, right? They who was that? It doesn't mean now they were, because the Abarbanel says, but they couldn't have been Yirei Shamayim, right? You're right. Now they weren't. Why weren't they now? Yeah, because it means originally VeNineveh hoisa it was. Since Ashur built it, he had Yirah Shamayim. He ran away. Because of that, Hashem took pity on them. As a reward for the ancestor, Hashem said, I'm going to give them a chance. But of course, now, they still had other sins. The Ibn Ezra proves it, however. The Ibn Ezra says, I can prove it to you that it must be that they had some Yirah Shamayim. How do I know that? Because you don't find that they destroyed any of the idols. But that's, if not for the words of the Ibn Ezra, this is because the Abarbanel is very much bothered by that. The answer is, you're right, they didn't destroy any of the Avodah Zarah and various altars and things like that. Because they still, all they retracted from was what? Stealing. They still had Avodah Zarah. I forgot to mention that at the end of the parrot. They still had Avodah Zarah. Right? They did not repent completely, and this is going to be quite crucial. Right? So that at least answers that pasuk over there. Then, next thing we have to note is the end of Parashas Bereishis. It says there, "Vayinochem Hashem asher ki osa es ha'adam." Hashem literally had a change of heart, literally, but obviously it doesn't mean quite that he made man. You'll notice that over there, all those pesukim, if you take a look at the end of Parashas Bereishis, are all written with yud kei vav kei, yeah, which means midas harachamim. That's point number one. Point number two is then the pasuk says, "Vayimah Hashem." Hashem said again, yud kei vav kei, emche es ha'adam. Grammatically, that means I will wipe out man in the future. In Parshas Noach, everything is written with Elokim, Midas Hadin. Number two, the post says, Vayem Elokim al Noach, Kitz kol bosar, bo lefonai. Bo is not in the future. It's in the present or past. Why has it changed suddenly? The answer is, finish off the Pasuk, Ki mola'o ha'oretz chomos mipeneihem. because they had stealing. Right? Once there was Gezel amongst them, then Hashem said, that's it. In other words, until, while they had immorality, and they had Avodah Zarah, and all the various sins, Hashem said, I'm still going to give them a chance. I'm still going to give them Midos HaRachamim. I'll look at it as something which is going to happen in 120 years' time, if they don't do Teshuvah. But once they had Chomos, once they had stealing, then Hashem said, that's it, it's all over. Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, it's as if it's already happened here and now. It's Midos HaDim, right? Everything changes. So, again, Ashur, he took note from that, and he built up Nineveh. His children went back to, they reverted, and only because of the pity which Hashem took on their forefather, Hashem said, I'm going to give them a chance to do Teshuvah. How? What does he do? He sends along, by way of the sea, a remes to the marble, inside a fish, a remes to the table, he sends Yonah. Why Yonah? Because Yonah was the dove which Noah sent out of the Teva and it found dry land. Right? Correct? So therefore, the whole thing, I mean, what I'm trying to show here is, what I'm trying to get at is, this is all going to be, if you want, repair the damages of the Dara Marble. That's what we're going to try and get towards, just so you should realize that. Now, Yonah, number one, is always referenced to Klal Yisrael, number one. Yeah? You see, it's Posek and She'al Shirim, Yonah, Sisam, or Si, right? We always refer to it as the Yonah. By the way, this Derech Agav, something I once heard from one of my teachers in Gateshead, Israel Rosenbaum, he said, why are we comparable to the Yonah? Because apparently the Yonah is unique. The dove is unique. All other birds, when they want to take a rest, they just sort of, they go down and they rest. The Yonah, however, never stops. When it wants to rest, it rests one wing and flies with the other wing, right, with one engine. He says, so too in Yiddishkeit, there's no such thing as stopping. Yeah, you need to take a break. You need to have a bit of relaxation with it. It's in the sun, whatever it is. So he says, fine, a person can sort of rest a bit. I mean, take things a bit easier. But he says, but to stop completely, that's nothing which you'll find by Yiddishkeit. But the other thing is, by the way, is that Yonah, as we said, is Moshiach ben Yosef. Right? This is obviously going to be quite crucial. Moshiach, we said last parak, that's Moshiach ben Yosef. And he's going to be the one who brings us all to the dry land, which the Vilna Gaon, again, I don't know whether we're going to get to this, but definitely not this time, but he says that the dry land refers to Olam Habo. This world is Olam Hazeh, it's like a voyage on the sea, and obviously the destination is Olam Habo. So he said to them like this, he says, if you don't do Teshuvah in 40 days, right, which we said is the same idea as the 40 days, the 40 Malkus, the 40 days of the Mabul, more significantly to us over here, he says you're going to be destroyed. So they took the message and they gave back the stolen articles. So then Hashem said, fine, that being the case, I'll give you Oid Arboim Yom, I'll give you a further 40 days. Which, as the Abarbanel said, that means 120 years. Oid is Gematria 80, Arboim is an extra 40, and Yom means years. The only thing is, so why doesn't it say 120 years? It should say 120. Why did you break it up into 80 and 40? The answer is, because after 40 years they got the first blow. That was with Usher, that was that night with when they tried to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. The Malach came in and wiped out their camps. They didn't take note from that, and they still went back. So Hashem said, okay, if that's the case, it's all over. After a full 120 years, Nebuchadnezzar came along, and he wiped out Nineveh. I'll come back to that point in 1 minute. Let me just, one more point. Is 120 years is obviously, in case you haven't realized, 120 years was also Hashem gave you the marble. 120 years. Same thing, right? And it's the same thing by a person. We refer to a person as living 120 years. I once heard from Remodcha Miller, he says that, it's actually B'Shem, from his son, in Gateshead, he said that in Aseres Mei Teshuvah, we know there's a thing to take on chumras, take on stringencies. He says, who are you kidding? Right? Hashem knows full well, after Yom Kippur, you're going to get rid of all these stringencies. Is this some sort of play, some sort of a joke? He says, you're not supposed to take on stringencies which you can't keep. And he said the answer is because there's two sorts of judgments. There's a judgment in this world, which Hashem says to you like this. If you think you've still got more to do in this world, fine, I'll give you more time in this world. In other words, if you take on stringencies, the idea is as if to say to Hashem that I know I'm not perfect. I know I've got more to do in this world. Even if you know full well that you'll never be able to actually sort of live on such a level as you're keeping now, it doesn't matter. Hashem says, as long as you recognize that there is more for you to do in this world, fine, I'll give you more time in this world. The danger is when a person says, well, I'm perfect already. I've fulfilled my mission in this world. So Hashem says, fine. I'll now give you the judgment of after 120 years, which is absolute judgment, and see how you fare in that. Right? So too over here, it's the same idea. Hashem says, if you don't return the Gezel, you've got 40 days to live. It's coming. The final judgment is coming. If you return the Gezel, then Odar Boim Yom. The same word can be translated in two ways. 40 days or 120 years. That's up to you, depending on what you do. So it says Vayinochem, going to the end of the parak, it says the last pasuk, it says Vayinochem ho elekim al horo asher deber. What does the word Vayinochem mean? It doesn't mean Hashem completely retracted. It means Hashem reconsidered. It means I'll give you more time. Where else do we find this? You'll find the same thing it says at the end of Parashat Bereishis, also says there. It says Vayinochem Hashem reconsidered. It doesn't mean that then he wiped out all of man. He reconsidered having made man. It means he wiped out all the Rishonim. He left Noach behind and he gave them 120 years. So too it says by the eagle. It says Vayinochem Hashem al ro asher deber la'aseh le'amo. Hashem reconsidered the punishment which he was going to give for his people, right? Doesn't mean he let them go. He said, I'll punish them over the next 40 years. All the people who were guilty, between 20 and 60, they were punished. They were killed over the next 40 years. So then, let's go back now, as we said, so then in 40 years' time, after 40 years, what happened? The first thing happened, that was with the Malach, which came down and smote the camps of Ashur, Sancheira. Then after a full 120 years, Nimrod comes along. Now here comes the next surprise. Nimrod was a Gilgal. He was a reincarnation of none other than Nimrod. Right? Nimrod was the one who spearheaded the building of the tower, by the way. That's where Ashur ran away from. Right? Nimrod was in... Nebuchadnezzar. I don't know what I just said. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar was a reincarnation of Nimrod. Right? I found this in Seder Adoris. Just looking there, I found this. Because Nimrod starts with the letter Nun and ends with the letter Dalet. Nebuchad, I don't know about Netzah, but Nebuchad is also Nun and Dalet. That's what it says there. He brings from a sefer there. That Nebuchadnezzar was a reincarnation of Nimrod, and since Ashur, he ran away from Nimrod when he built the Tower of Babel. And now, many generations later, they're not taking the lesson, they're not following in the footsteps of their fathers. They're trying to destroy the structure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, i.e. the Beis HaMikdash. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He sent along the reincarnation of Nimrod, of Nimrod, i.e. Nebuchadnezzar, and he wiped out Nineveh completely. When? In the first year of his reign. The second year of his reign, he conquered, i.e. Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he then conquered Jehoiakim, which was the start of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. So you see there's a very definite connection there. So let's now just finish off then. Let's just sort of follow this through now, the Seder Advarim, which we've just had here. It all goes back to right to the beginning of time with Adam HaRishon when he first sinned. So we're told that with that, all the impure koches came into the world, and that caused the Chet of the Dor HaMabul. Right? How did that? It's a pasuk in Noach. It says, "Vayirat Hashem l'roseh ha'ir." Hashem went down to see the city, Ve'as Hamigdon on the tower, Asher bonu b'nei ha'odom, that the sons of man had built. And Rashi brings there, he says, why? What caused them to build the tower? He says, you know why? Because Adam HaRishon, he was a kofi tova. He failed to show gratitude to Hashem. He said, "Ha'ish Hashem osato imodi," the woman that you gave me, she caused me to sin. And Chazal say he should have been perfectly grateful for Chava which he was given. Because he was an ingrate in that sense, therefore his children many years down the line, B'nei Ha'odon, they also rebelled against Hashem. They showed a lack of gratitude for what Hashem had done, letting them escape from the Dor HaMabul in the Teva. And that's where it all came from, the Chet of Adam HaRishon. And I think that may well be, that's why we saw in both Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Zion, why we find such a stress put on the fact that the Ketanim and the subjects follow the king and children follow their adults. Why? Follow the parents. Why? Because that's exactly what happens over there. The Chet of the Dor, at least the Dor HaFlogo, was because of the Chet they followed. It was because of the actions of their father. They just imitated the actions of their father, i.e. Adam HaRishon. He showed a lack of gratitude, so that's what they did. So too over here, it was up to the parents and the king to set the example, to start the fasting. And then everyone would follow in turn. Then, as we said, Ashur, he escaped, and he built up Nineveh. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends along Yonah, i.e. Moshiach ben Yosef, to bring everything back, to be misaken everything. That's why I think, I'm suggesting now, perhaps that's why the fish spat out Yonah 965 parsa. As I said, I found nothing on this, so I'm just suggesting. The reason may be like this, because we know Adam HaRishon lived how long? 930 years. He was 70 years short of 1,000, which is a complete days in the eyes of Hashem. Who completed those 70 years?
David.
Half of 70 years? 35. That's 900, right? 930 plus 35 is 965. Moshiach comprises two people, Moshiach ben Yosef and Moshiach ben David. Who was Moshiach ben Yosef? Who's going to take us that first half? Yonah. That's why it's 965. Right? There's a bit more you could say to it. I mean, I don't want to get too much into this, but you, but on the 70 years of David corresponds to the 7 days of creation, right? Because the seventh day is Shabbos, right? And the sun and the moon were created on the fourth day, right? I don't want to get into this why now, but just take my word for it. Perhaps that we find that that the moon, definitely the moon, there's no question about it. The moon definitely refers to David. There's no question about that. We say in Kiddush Shavuot, we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. There's no question about that. But perhaps the sun refers to Moshiach ben Yosef. Right? He was referred to as the sun because he is the one who's going to come along, the predecessor. He's going to come along. The sun shines the light on the moon and the moon reflects that light. Moshiach ben Yosef will be the, who will set the stage if you want. The sun and the moon take, if you want, on day 3.5, that's where they sort of take over from one another, right? On day 4, in other words, on day 4, half of the day will be the sun and half of it will be the moon. So therefore, Yonah took us up to 965. Half the way, he was, let's say, the sun, now the moon, i.e. David would take us the rest of the way. But as I said, it's the same idea, it's just in different words. Then we come, he comes onto the ship. Who do you have on the ship? The 70 nations. We said that all 70 nations were on the ship. This is the first stage in the returning everything to the teshuvah. What's that? It all started, we're going backwards now. The Dor HaFlogah, everyone rebelled against Hashem, so Hashem created 70 nations. And just to note, they all had equal chance, by the way, after the Chet of Adam Rishon, they all had equal chance to take hold of the higher Madrega, which Avraham Avinu did, which he did, no one else did. And that's why the Jews always, you may say, well, what's the justice in it that the non-Jews, they may be a very good and civilized person. It doesn't matter, since it's all because of Avraham Avinu. He took hold of the baton when everyone else didn't. Therefore, they all had the chance at that time, but they didn't. They all created migdal, this tower. Now they all were in the sky. They all converted. That was the first stage. Also, then the next stage was the Chet of Gezel. That's going backwards now, right? Was the Chet of Gezel. That they also did. They returned the Gezel. Also the animals. Since in the Dor HaMabul, they also committed immorality, as we said, therefore the animals themselves had to do teshuvah, so to speak. They also donned sackcloth and they had to fast. But sadly, they didn't get all the way. They didn't do the final teshuvah. Had they done the final teshuvah, it could well be that the Klal Yisrael would have then also been forced to do the final teshuvah, right? Because we said, because it would have been embarrassing otherwise, and that would have, then there would have been no destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. We would have had the final Geula. So, that's what would have happened. So what message should we take from this? So just one last thing. The Medrash says that the Yonah received his first Nevuah in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Right? Simchas Beis HaShoeva was a time when they drew the waters. Right? Obviously a remez could be a remez to the Mabul. It could also be a remez to the waters. There's a whole story behind it with the waters, which when David HaMelech dug the foundations of the Beis HaMikdash, the waters rose up as if to flood the world. Right? And it's not for now, there's a lot more which can be said about that, but therefore it's up to us to realize that if we do teshuvah, right, especially, we're not quite there, but towards the Yom HaNoraim, especially within the 3 weeks, we can then swap the waters of the Mabul with the waters of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which hopefully we will all be zecher to see, v'korev, in the third Beis HaMikdash, from here, Rabbi Yameinu, Amen. Mm-hmm.